Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And good evening, Monday night, as we head into the Christmas weekend. A lot of people off work this week, but a lot of us are not. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. On today's program, Governor Snyder signed legislation into law that changes our state business incentive programs. It means less incentives in general. Is that a good thing? We'll talk about that. And social services saw some big changes this year with a reduction in unemployment benefit weeks, a stricter limit on welfare benefits. What's 2012 likely to bring? I'll talk to the Michigan League for Human Services to find out. But first, the big story of the day is the death of North Korea's Kim Jong-il. And while some consider that a reason to celebrate, the real concern is, what are we going to do now when his 29-year-old son, Kim Jong-un, is set to replace him? To talk about that and matters closer to home, including Senator Debbie Stabenow in the case involving MF Global, I'm joined by Republican U.S. Senate candidate Pete Hoekstra, who served 18 years in Congress and chaired the U.S. House Committee on Intelligence. Welcome to the program.
Hey, it's always good to be with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining me. Now, I want to ask you about North Korea, as you were the chair of the House Committee on Intelligence. It seems like that's one thing we really don't have about North Korea, any real intelligence. How blind are we when it comes to what's happening in that country?
Oh, I think we're very, very blind. It's North Korea is this dark spot on the map that it's been very, very hard to penetrate into. It's hard to get human intelligence. It's hard to get signals intelligence. It's just very, very difficult to understand exactly what's going on in North Korea.
And the big fear, of course, is the fact that they have nuclear weapons and the concern that they could maybe in an irrational way spark a nuclear attack on South Korea. What are your thoughts about that? Should we be especially concerned with this transition that's occurring here?
Well, sure. Whenever there's a transition going on, there's possibilities of things spiraling out of control. I think, again, this is all speculation, is what most North Korean experts are doing and are going to be doing over the next few days. You know, you're going to have transition. Kim Jong-il identified who he wanted his successor to be, his son. I would speculate that it's most likely his son that is going to be given the first opportunity to consolidate power, and that may take 1 to 3 years in my understanding of how North Korea works. You also have the possibility that he will not be able to do that. And so there'll be a tremendous amount of uncertainty as to who could possibly replace him. I think what we're going to see is over the next 3 years, we're going to see a North Korea that is very much internally focused as it really works out the succession plan to Kim Jong-il. The second thing I think that we're going to see is they will, like they did today, the reports are that they fired off a missile. I think that you'll see them continue to do kind of those kinds of things just to keep the West, keep South Korea, China, Japan on our toes, just not knowing exactly what may happen. But I'm hopeful, and I don't expect North Korea to spiral out of control over the next 12 to 18 months where, they could really do something dramatic that could result in a tremendous instability on the peninsula.
I mean, with a country like this, are we better off just kind of staying back and letting them figure things out internally, even though it is essentially a prison state? Or should we be more aggressively now interacting with them to try to maybe change some of their views on us as Americans?
Now, I think this is the time where the U.S. steps back. We let them, a new leadership, consolidate power to believe that us or South Korea, Japan, or China will have any influence on who their next leadership might be, I think is unreasonable. To believe that we could influence that process or that we could influence their policy. My strategy, let them consolidate power. Once they've identified a new leader, then we make a determination as to what the next steps are. But I think our options are very, very limited at this time.
I'm talking to Republican U.S. Senate candidate Pete Hoekstra, also former congressman for 18 years. So I want to talk to you about U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow, who you will be or you are challenging, and you've called for her to disqualify herself from chairing the investigation into MF Global. This is the humongous loss, this company that lost a humongous amount of money. It involves former Senator John Corzine, who is the CEO there. Now, you're saying that she received $5,000 in campaign donations, although is that really an amount of money that should concern us in terms of her her judgment in this case?
No, I don't think it's only that. You go back to the 2004 election cycle, Senator Corzine was the chairman of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, Debbie was his chief deputy. So they've got a campaign working relationship going back to 2003 and 2004. You have the campaign contributions and then press reports toward the end of last week that she had been consistently pestering the Senator Corzine about additional donations to her campaign. I think when you take a look at that body of evidence and the body of the relationship, there's nothing inappropriate or improper about the relationship that they had, but obviously it was very close. And you're exactly right. There was about $1.4 billion lost in terms of market value of the capital of the company. There's a reported $1.2 billion of customers' money that may be missing. Put some transparency in this process. Make sure that this process is above reproach. Senator Dodd, Senator Harkin, the next two people who are in line in seniority on the Agriculture Committee, they don't appear to have nearly the kind of in-depth relationship with Senator Corzine that Debbie Stabenow has. This would be a great case where Debbie would just step aside in this part of the Ag Committee. We're not saying step aside as chairperson of the Ag Committee or anything like that, but step aside. Your relationship with Senator Corzine is just too close. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's happened over the last year as you've been asking him for money for your reelection and those kinds of things. Let someone else who's very qualified, who knows this stuff, and doesn't have the kind of relationship with Senator Corzine that you have, let them run this investigation.
Only a couple of minutes left, so I do want to now ask you about the situation at the Capitol, where the Senate apparently found a compromise when it came to the payroll tax break extension, although now House Republicans are coming back saying they are not on board with this. Do you think Republicans in the House are going a little too far at this point in resisting something that the Senate is willing to compromise on?
No, I think I'd stand with the House Republicans on this one. Take a look. I mean, they're talking about a tax holiday of extension of 2 months. The problem with what's been going on in Washington is that, businesses and individuals and families, they're looking at certainty. They want to know what the tax policy is going to be for 2012. They'd like to know what it's going to be for 2013 and 14 so that they can plan. And to do a 60-day extension of tax policies is absolutely ludicrous. The Senate, they haven't passed a budget in close to 1,000 days. No wonder all they can do is short-term fixes in 60-day tax policies. They really ought to, everybody ought to come back to work, hammer this out, come to at least a minimum of a 12-month agreement. There initially was talk of doing a 2-year agreement on some of the problems that they've got with Medicare, this payroll tax holiday. Mm-hmm. Hammer out a one, but maybe even preferably a 2-year deal so that people have some certainty as to exactly what's going to be happening.
This could mean, though, the extension won't pass at all.
It could. Or it could mean that, if the Senate is unwilling to come back, to believe you're at work today, I'm at work today, to believe that the Senate needs to go home today or, over the weekend so that they can be home for Christmas, no one in the private sector operates that way. I'm assuming, someone's going to be doing your radio show next week, you or someone else. I'll be available to do it. Why can't the Senate and the House work through this week and come back next week, Tuesday, if necessary? They've got plenty of time to work this out. Only in Washington is it. Hey, it's December 19. We're done for the year.
Well, that is hard. Indeed. Well, that's very hard to argue with. I'd say most Americans would certainly agree. And I certainly want to have you on again. I know in the polls you're dramatically leading in the Republican race, and very likely will be the nominee. So. Republican U.S. Senate candidate Pete Hoekstra, of course, 18 years in Congress. Thank you very much for joining me.
Hey, always good to be with you. Thanks, and Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays. Thanks.
Indeed, thank you. And we'll be right back with more to talk about the new incentive programs for businesses here in Michigan. They're going to be quite different now that the governor has signed them into law. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.